In the name of Jesus Christ, I greet you and I welcome you here this evening. We are so richly blessed. As I hear you sing, you should hear it from where I'm at. It's definitely a choir. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm so humbled in your presence. I'm so humbled in the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. My name is Mike Estel. I'm elder. I attend the Buckner Restoration Branch. Accompanying me tonight here on the rostrum, Elder Dennis Seymour. Dennis is from the Buckner congregation, and he'll be offering our invocation. Elder Mark Churchill, he'll only speak for about 2 seconds before you all recognize where he's from. He does attend the South Crystal Restoration Branch. On my left is Elder Ed Turner, the pastor at the Buckner Restoration Branch. Shelby Walker, playing the piano tonight. Our deacon is Wilson Jones. Chris and Angela Cunningham are providing our special music. Our theme for today, seek wisdom and understanding through fasting and prayer. Wisdom and understanding, one of my favorite topics. Again, I greet you here this night. I'm anxious to hear you sing. I will call you now to worship. Using 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 30th and 31st verses. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You'll have the opportunity to glory in the Lord now as we stand and sing hymn number 366. Hymn 366, I heard the voice of Jesus say. You can turn to hymn 336. I'll probably go ahead and turn to 366, but 336 is where you'll find this hymn, I believe.
Thank you. God and our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, Lord, that we can come to meet in this open sanctuary, to be open, Heavenly Father, to your Spirit. We would pray, Lord, that you might bless us in abundance with that Spirit. I would pray also, Heavenly Father, for my brother Mark as he would bring the spoken word this night, that it might penetrate the hearts of each, that we might come to a greater understanding of that which you would have us to think and have us to do. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with us this evening. I ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As a text tonight, I encourage you to turn to Alma chapter 12, verse 1. And it reads, "And now it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southwards, away from the land of Manti, behold, to his astonishment, he met the sons of Mosiah journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time that the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore, Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy is they still were brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth." I want to talk to you about truth tonight. The knowledge of the truth. "For they were men of sound understanding, for they had searched the scriptures diligently." And if you don't have the scriptures as the keel of your boat, you will be lost at sea. "They searched the scriptures diligently that they might know the word of God. And this is not all. They were given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and they had the spirit of revelation. And when they taught, they taught with power and authority, even as with power and authority from God."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall shall set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Little critter. I want to thank you for your song. My intent tonight is to break the word of life to you and to, more importantly, help you to perhaps understand the things that I might share. And it's one of my pet peeves is you listen to a sermon and you go home and you say, hopefully you say that was good, and you're like, well, what do I do with that? And we forget about it. So I want to try and be pretty forefront, and I want to try and prick your mind. You've decided to sacrifice a week of your life to come and spend time with saints of similar understanding. And so I pray we might even start with a prayer, that you might pray for the person or people that are in front of you, that their heart might be able to receive this night, that the Lord would have his way with us. Because all too many times I come and I'm just there to be there. So start with, here am I, Lord. We're at camp. It's Tuesday night. Just as a prompt, did you offer that to the Lord today? Here am I, use me as you will. At a camp like this, there's abundant opportunities to serve. Because at the end of the day, we need to become servants. And I heard shared one time, how do you know when you have a servant's heart? And it's pretty simple and sad at the same time. People, the saints of God, will treat you like a servant. So let's raise our game. Let's look up to the Lord, and let's be willing to overcome the things of the past, and we might become like him. As a scripture to start, the subject is wonderful. Now, seek wisdom and understanding through prayer and fasting. We could probably talk a week on that. So we're going to try and do it some justice in a few minutes here tonight. So I love my books and I'm usually there, but I'm going to read from scripture here mostly, and I apologize for that. But from 1 Samuel 16 and 7, I want to start there. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. And it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, there's a piece missing there, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. And my first question is, do you understand that? We all know it. But there's a big difference between knowing something and understanding it, because we're to seek for wisdom and understanding. Do you understand the implications that the Lord seeth not as man seeth? I'd like you to take a little checkbox in your mind. Do you really, like if I believe with all my heart, there's nothing that you can point to with the Hubble telescope even that wasn't created by our Heavenly Father and His Son. So we are a piece of God. And if we're a piece of Him, then He knows every last thing about me. He doesn't need an MRI to see what's inside of me. He sure doesn't need someone to tell him what my spiritual intent is. God is, we are like a tapestry upon the substrate of God. And we've got to get that straight too. There's no fooling him. Because we co-together. It's inseparable. And so, do you understand that God doesn't see as man seeth? Can you see my hand? Can you tell if I've got a closed fist or I've got an open palm? It's closed. If you had an x-ray, you could see through this desk really easily. But with our natural vision, which we tend to lean on, you can't see. But I tell you what, the right wavelength sees straight through this desk, much less our Heavenly Father. There is no hiding, brothers and sisters, nowhere. Doesn't matter how much we want to imagine it or whatever fantasy we want to believe. You can't hide from God. You either embrace him or you reject him. So I want to talk about embracing him through this wisdom and understanding, seeking of that. So this scripture, if we can ever get through it. So the Lord says, "For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And I'm going to come back to that outward appearance in a little bit. But the Lord looketh on the heart, and thank goodness he does. You know, you have I know I'm not going to have enough time, so I put a few scriptures on this little handout. But this particular little box here, I'd like to talk about that a few seconds. Is I'd like you to, with a piece of prayerfully, set aside a good while, at least 30 minutes. And try and do it here in the next 24, 36 hours, if you can do it. And work through that with a piece of paper. And when you do the matrix, where have I been physically, my body? Where am I being? And when you've got that written down, check that box and then move on to the next one. This is a task, but you'll find who you are and where you want to go. And then at the bottom down there below the green writing where the two little pictures are, do you realize that we think in images? We don't think in words, we think in images. And we speak words, or quite often we babble. But we think in images. I would like you on the back of this or some other piece of paper to basically divide it in half, and on one side do what's said there in the first one. And that would be, where are you spiritually? And make a sketch with as much detail as you can. And then the second one is, where do you want to be? And I don't care whether you're talking physically or spiritually, because it depends on your journey. There's no faking it in this life. Be honest with yourself. That's the first person you've got to be honest with. And I really encourage you to go through that exercise, because words mean very little. But sketch out with your Heavenly Father as your guide who you are, where you want to go, and where you've been. So, if we can turn to Jacob chapter 3 while I'm coming to the next one, because... No, not Jacob 3, I'm on the wrong sheet of paper. I apologise and move to the side. That's way too early. But we will get there. So, the key, I've got a few pictures to stimulate your mind tonight. So if you look at this... This is a piece of chalk art. That's the piece of chalk art from a different perspective. And this is what it looks like from the other way, at 90 degrees. You realise that this looks like some scratches on the ground. But I apologise, it's a long way, it's as big as my printer is. You have to talk to my wife, let me buy a bigger one. But when you see things the right way, everything changes. This doesn't mean much of anything. But this is pretty interesting. And it's your perspective of where you are. I want you to imagine. Remember, we think in pictures. I want you to imagine a little island about the size of this campground. And there's some poor sucker stuck on it in the middle of the Pacific. And he sees someone that's coming with a little rowboat towards the land. And the guy in the rowboat is going, "Land!" And the guy in the island's going, "Hoo-hoo, a boat! I'm out of here, brother!" Where do you see your Heavenly Father? How do you see your Heavenly Father? This is Tuesday. Are you any different? If I came in there and I got my little DNA microscope, are you any different to Sunday? Because no word's going to change you if you're not. Where on earth are you going to change if you're not going to change here? You've got to let go to God. Any change happens, you recognize you've got a situation that needs to be corrected. You work out what that situation is, hopefully, prayerfully, with fasting and whatever it is. You come to the conclusion through study that that's what I need to do. You unlock the process, and it's as dangerous as it gets. You make the change, you lock it back up, and you see if that's what you want. And never unlock it again if it is, and move on. If you don't work through those kind of mechanical places, you become wishy-washy. You're just going to be like this all your life, and no one's going to understand you, including God and you. Do you realize you are the master of your own destiny? So as you brush your teeth, hopefully you do that a couple of times a day, I encourage you, the enemy is in that piece of glass there. Don't think for a second it's that evil one. We give that character way too much glory. The problem is me. And so twice a day, I encourage you to look in the eyes of that person and imagine Christ looking into those eyes. Because we have eternal judgment, right? Have you ever stopped to think about that? I want you to show me on the spectrum of eternity where it starts and stops. The way we live right now is a part of judgment. What we choose is what we'll get. And it's not going to happen on a certain day at a certain place. It's right now. We don't have hours. We don't have minutes. We have seconds. And each decision we make is who we are. We don't live in hours. We live in decisions. And we need to master that as the way we go. Because what spiritual actions have you tried to change this week? Maybe you haven't been aware of that right now. That's fine. Let me ask you another question. How many acts of Christ-like love have you demonstrated to someone on this campground today? So hopefully you can see a barometer forming. And unless you get aggressive with yourself, you'll be just like you are. So we need to look at that. I have a question for you. I'll show you guys this one too. So here's a couple going for a ride on a motorbike with a sidecar. If we're talking about things spiritual, because everything's spiritual, there's no such thing as a physical thing to the Lord. It's all spiritual first. Is your spiritual life the motorbike or the sidecar? Is your spiritual life your motorbike or the sidecar? Or is it like me and it flip-flops a lot? Flip-flopping is not the end of the world. Because we need to work our way through this. This is scripture that says something about it. This is a time prepared for man to prepare to meet God. He knows it's going to take time. He knows it's a work and we need to do it with him. So I just encourage you. How much of your life is the spiritual things a sidecar? And how much is it the bike that's driving the vehicle? And if you're a husband here, you've got a question that the rest of the family doesn't get. Does your family have every possible opportunity to come to the knowledge of the Christ? Because when we think of the things of the Lord, does it scare you? Are you fearful of judgment? Or are you excited? Here's an image. Does that scare you or does it thrill you? Hopefully it thrills you, even though we know we're sinful at times, or a lot, all the time maybe. Because if it wasn't for this opportunity, there would be no hope. We wouldn't be bothered. We need to change how we perceive and see things from what you've been told to what the scriptures truly say. And if you don't have the scriptures regularly in your life, you will struggle and struggle bad. So our theme is search for wisdom. So if you take a look at the scripture, if you go back to Webster's 1828, it's about the time of the Book of Mormon. It says, go in search of or quest of, to look for, to search for by going from place to place, to inquire for, to ask for, to solicit, to endeavor to find gain at any means. Is that what you have in your mind to search when you're looking for the things of the Lord here this week? No, like this kind of search. When you're shoulder to shoulder and you're walking through the field, you don't miss anything. Is that the level of search you have in your mind? If not, we need to retool. We're going to keep trying to do the same thing, with the same set of tools and expect different results. That's the definition of yes. Let us look to the things of the Lord. And I hope that there's a conflict going on in your mind. What's this guy saying? You realize that there's this paradigm that there's intimacy with God, and it's in all things in life. And then there's withdrawal or being outside of that. And there's this little thing in the middle that we go through called conflict. And quite often the conflict this way is fairly easy. It's just me to him. But for me to come back from withdrawal to the intimacy of God, I've got to reconcile that. We say it's repentance, oh God, help me. No. That's the start of that journey. You need to read your books. There's going to be conflict there. The old man has to die. We know that by words, but what's the picture in your mind? I say, I just need to repent most of my life. There needs to be conflict in our lives. Good conflict, spiritual conflict, that we might come to a greater understanding. So that's seek. We could talk for hours about seek. And wisdom. So what does Webster say wisdom is? It's the right use or exercise of knowledge. The correct use of knowledge. And I add to that truth probably. So what's knowledge? The same book says a clear and certain perception of that which exists. Or the truth and fact. Sounds a lot like section 90. So if we're going to seek wisdom, we're looking for facts, we're looking for truths, we're looking for understandings. And then it says, from our theme, it says, wisdom and understanding. That's a tough one. That's really tough. You know what the definition of understanding is? Kind of surprised me. To have the same ideas as the person who speaks. So no matter what the situation is, if you have an understanding of the conversation, you have the same ideas as what that person's saying. And if you do, you understand clearly what they're saying. And if they're saying something that's a little different, then you're not at that same level and you have to climb to that understanding. Think of all our schooling. That we might hopefully come to the same understanding as the one who's teaching. And if that's the Heavenly Father, then that's the definition of perfection. So if you look at our little theme here so far, it's to seek, not just casually roll over in bed and say a prayer, seek. Seek the truth, seek wisdom, use it correctly in the right time and manner that you might see how those things are created and used and done the same way God sees them. Remember what happened there in Samuel? For God doesn't see like man sees. And if we're going to become like him, and that's the command, was it Matthew 5 or 7? And it's 48 in the Inspired and 50 in the Inspired, 48 in the King James. The game has to go up, brothers and sisters. And now is the time. Not because of what's happening in the world, forget that. If that's on your radar, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. You're 100% in the mammon. Let's come back to the spiritual thing. Every day needs to be a winner for the Lord. If you think about how we diet, it's making sure that we don't go backwards and we get there. You can throw all the crazy things in the middle, but as long as you don't go backwards. It's the same thing in lots of principles in life that we might go forwards. There's a scripture here from Doctrine and Covenants 28:9-8 says, wherefore verily I say unto you that all things unto me are spiritual. And it's not me, it's God. All things to him are spiritual. Does that check a box in your mind? Really? There's no physical things to him when it comes to commandments? Everything's spiritual. It says, things unto me are spiritual, and that not at any time have I given unto you a law which is temporal. And so if we come to faith, what is the definition? That we might do it by faith and not by seeing. We see with an eye, don't we? And it's a wonderful gift. It's one of the miracles of life. I hope you've studied how the eye forms and how the optic path of over 1,000 nerves get between the eye and the brain. It's ow. How could you be atheist and know that? But it's such a gift, becomes a crutch. You realize that Your strengths are really your weaknesses pushed to an extreme. Oh, I talk too much. Well, it's probably because I could talk my way out of things, and I've found that works, and that's where I am. And it doesn't matter what it is. Our weaknesses are typically strengths pushed to an extreme. How about our vision? We are solely dependent on it. But the natural man has to die. So if we go back to our text from 12 and 6, because there's counsels of God, the way he would like things done, and we actually see it played out here in the next couple of verses. So we remember what happened in 1 through 5. He found his brothers in the Lord, and he was excited that they had maintained faithful in the gifts that they had. And there's no difference between them and us except a few years. If it's available for them, I believe with all my heart it's available for you and for me. And moreover, probably required. But he goes on in 12 and 6 and says, "And they had been teaching the word of God for the space of 14 years among the Lamanites, having had much success," and here's the key, "bringing many to a knowledge of the truth." So if you're wondering what you want to do, the tools with anything you might want to do, where do you want to focus that? Is it we should be bringing people to a knowledge of the truth. And you can't teach what you don't have. Remember the keel on the boat? We need to be bringing people to a knowledge of the truth. If you drop down to 18, we find another little jewel there. And it says, "And the Lord said unto them also, Go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word." And the word is the truth. The truth in the heart. And then from 26 it says, "Therefore, this was the cause for which the sons of Mosiah had undertaken the work." So, okay, so this is why they did it. This should be a good one, right? And it says, "That perhaps they might bring them unto repentance, that perhaps they might bring them to know of the plan of redemption." So if we're wondering what our mission in life would be, what's the meaning of life, there it is that we might know the truth, we might live kindly in Christ, that we might be an example, we might preach sermons and use words if you have to, that people might come to whatever it is you've got. Does that make sense? What stands in the way of that? That's the kind of critical thinking we need to have if we're going to go on to meet him. What honestly stands in the way of that? And what can you do to overcome that? I believe he gives us clues. We just don't listen. And it's hard. I didn't say it was complicated. An 8-year-old can get this gospel down right, otherwise we shouldn't be baptizing him. So when I get smarter and more educated, it becomes really tough. So it's spirit motivated, all done like this. We've got to make sure that the spirit drives our life, not a sidecar or worse, a passenger that didn't make the ride. If you go to DNC, oh man, if you go to DNC 76-2D, "For by my spirit I will enlighten them." There's the key. "By my spirit I will enlighten them, and by my power I will make known unto them the secrets of my will." So we're not plugged into the Spirit, you're not going to know. It doesn't matter how many sermons you work through. We'll get to it in a second. This is a revealed religion. You're not going to know diddly. You might be book smart, but you're not going to understand the things of God. You've got to surrender into his way. And so it says, "The secrets of my will, yea, even those things which I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor yet entered into the heart of men." You hear that little word, yet? Means it's coming. His truth's going to roll forward. It's a stone cut out of the mountain. But it doesn't matter. I could die on the way home. My time is up. But I can tell you, that's the wrong attitude. The attitude is, this is fun. Sharing the things of the Lord, living in him, is where it's at. We've kind of got it upside down. Like someone telling you pizza's good food. Let me tell you. It's a cheese delivery system. If you get the dough in your clothes, you can't wash it out before it's cooked. And you want to eat that. We think that's good as a nation. We need to turn it upside down, what we think the things of the Lord are. He says, he will make known, line upon line, precept upon precept. This is not going to come like a bull at a gate. It's going to come subtly. It's going to come like a thief in the night. And we need to be ever attentive to those things of the Spirit, that soft ray of light might make it into the depths of our spiritual heart. Because the biggest and hardest journey in the world is not Mount Everest. It's between here and here. And my intellect is a problem. Because we need to live in Christ, which is the truth. And it's revealed by Him. And that revealed faith equals faithfulness. And that's the state of being faithful all the time. It's as simple as that. And so if we turn to Jacob 3 and 11, I told you we'd get there. It says, "And no man knoweth of his way, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God." And from Genesis 6 and 4, I apologize. "And God revealed himself unto Seth, and he rebelled not." How about Mark? The others rebelled, didn't they? And then from Matthew 16 and 18, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." So that's where it's coming from. And you know what? Peter didn't have to stop and pray and fast to get that information. He had it on board. And we'll be the same. It's like being the underdog to when you're playing the game. If you play soccer, you've got the ball and there's no one. There's a goalie and he's at one side of the court. You've just got to get it in the goal. Go and do it. That's what it's like when the Spirit's with you. It doesn't get better than that. We all would love to be in paradise, right? You realize it starts now. Go and read Moroni chapter 7, verse 3 or 4, whatever it is. From here now, it's all the way through. We enter into his rest. This is not about whether he'll do good stuff for us on the other side. It's let's have the party now with the Lord. It's that simple. We've just got to do that. And from Alma 14 and 103, it says, "Yea, he that repenteth and exercises faith." Remember we talked about faithfulness. "And bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal the things which never have been revealed." I hope you can get your mind around that. That there'll be light given to you. He's no respecter as a person that haven't been given to anyone else yet. We're talking big league here. We're talking it's well worth sacrificing what you know today. Because the battle's spiritual. Let's turn to 3 Nephi 4 and 2. It says, "And there was not any man who could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from iniquity." Every whit. Can you tell me what half a whit looks like? Or even a whit? The warfare, brothers and sisters, is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not about numbers. It's not about appearance. It's not about anything. It's about my heart and the Lord Jesus Christ's heart while I'm here. That I might look like him. I might sound like him. I might say like him. I might go to sleep when he goes. And I might get upset when he gets upset. Not my will. Because I can tell you, Mark, he's not so nice a guy. Particularly the younger Mark. He's a bit of a funny guy. There's a path provided for us, and it's in Ephesians 4. And it starts with the church. And I don't have time to go back and read it, but he created a structure in the church. And then from 4 and 13, we're going to read through 15, it says, "Till we," it's you and me. You know what happens when you put a person on that island? They become insane very quickly. We, you and I, this gospel is a social gospel. It's together. We're not going to do it alone. If you think you are, there may be a guardrail coming. "Till we, in the unity of faith, your faith and my faith knit together in Christ." Remember the triangle? We're on the bottom and he's up here, particularly with couples. We use that a lot. But it's for you and me too. You don't want to become like me. Let me tell you, you do not want to be like Mark. But if we both become like Christ, there's the ticket. So he says, "Till we in the unity of faith," all, that's every one of us, "come to a knowledge of the Son of God." Remember we talked about knowledge? It's that truth and right understanding. To divide it just like the Father would divide it. unto a perfect man, which is in Matthew, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Nothing beside him. That's the goal, brothers and sisters. Let's stop ratcheting it down. Let's put it back up where it belongs. Because where there's a gap, if you look at how all sales are done, they create, you may be seen a billboard, I hope you don't watch TV, but you may see a billboard and they think, oh man, I could use a new barbecue. 20 seconds before, were you thinking about a new barbecue? No. But they go, oh, yeah, ours is a bit rusty and it's not working so well. I should get a new barbecue. It's this gap that creates all curiosity in man, and he only really learns through curiosity or force. And you need to make sure the Father's right there, the old carrot before the horse, that your curiosity is found in him. And if your curiosity is found in Jesus, your feet will be too. And it says in 14, it says, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I want to paint a picture for you. I'm a boatie. I come from Australia, and I've spent a lot of time offshore. A wave this tall, I wouldn't even consider. Being tossed to and fro is no fun. And it's by what? Not the wind, not the waves, not the evil forces. It's by every wind of doctrine. Look around us. Even within the Restoration. Then we go to the evangelical ministry. Woo! But if we're no more children, it goes on to say in 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, even the head, even Christ. So if you want to know how you're going to do it, there it is there, right in Ephesians 4. So if we get back to our theme, that's seek wisdom and understanding. We haven't even got to prayer and fasting. But he says through. You realize through is like a gateway, a path. It's like you all go into the door of the dining hall. There's a distinct thing that happens in through. And if you, two scriptures to help you get your mind around that, because, you know, is Matthew 17 to 21. It says, howbeit this kind goeth out but by prayer and fasting. There's a channel, there's a way. And the other one I want to bring to you is from DNC 85:21a. It says, also I give unto you a commandment that ye shall continue in prayer and fasting from this time forward. There's the channel, there's the way, there's the lane, if you will. If I take you back to your handout, prayer, if you read through Moroni 7, it's to the church. We don't understand, hopefully you do, a lot of folks don't understand, or at least to my understanding, what Moroni 7's about. It's to us of the church. And he goes and explains the wonderful things when we actually move into it and how to do that. He talks about how we can be with him, and he talks about faith and hope and charity and all those things. But he also talks about judgment in there. But there's this thing here on the 555 prayer. If you want to change your life, this will do it. Grab your phone, set it on 5 minutes, and it's the hardest thing in the world for quite a long time. And I'm not going to tell you I haven't mastered. 5 minutes, reflect upon God and seek his forgiveness and restitution. Spend 5 minutes praising his name. 5 minutes praying for others, and listen for 5 minutes. And every time your mind drifts off anywhere, snap it back. That you basically have a blank sheet of paper in front of your mind that whole 5 minutes. And when you get that down a little bit, it's amazing what happens. The other thing, if you want to do it, is start to journal. Talk to God on paper. Make sure you date each thing. The other thing there is record your blessings. It's a part of your stewardship. God doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. And we need to record our blessings. And then if you're wondering what to pray, I've just put it down there in broad spectrum because there's children here too. No whining or complaining. God doesn't need to hear us whine. But respects, requests, and I want to touch on this. If you've felt that you've been let down by the Lord, there's nothing wrong with talking to him about that. Because if I do something to you or something happens between us, it says don't let the sun go down until you resolve it, right? Respectfully, and I can't underline that enough, talk it through with your Heavenly Father that you might understand what took place. Because in my life, it's usually a misunderstanding on my part. So, that's prayer. That's all the time I got for that. But I've given you the keys to it. Fasting. And that is my joy. I don't do it enough, but I can tell you, it's like turning the headlights on at 100 mile an hour on a dark night. And why? You know, let's back up. So I'm just getting ahead of myself. I'm all excited. We're on to fasting. Let's do a scripture. From DNC 28 and 9, it says, "Wherefore verily I say unto you, that all things unto me are spiritual." Remember we read that? And it goes on and says from 9b, "Behold, I give unto you that ye should be an agent unto yourself. I give unto you a commandment, but no temporal commandment I give unto him. For my commandments are spiritual, they are not natural, temporal, neither are they sensual." How are you going to hear this different language? It's bad enough with my accent, right? How are you going to hear that? You've got to be clear. You've got to be clean. He's got to be a part of your life. Because we start talking, I need to stay on focus here. I'm excited. So here's two jugs of water. You can have a drink here. One of them's clean and one of them's not. You tell me when the mighty change happens here. I hope I swelled it enough. So when's the mighty change? It's insidious. The big change happens when the first drop hit it. And from there, you hardly even notice. We'll look back in a second and it'll be all red. That's how sin happens in your life. And you know what? If I grab a flashlight and I shine it through this one, there's lots of light. This one already, it's greatly reduced. This is a powerful flashlight. I apologize. Where do you stand? This will tell you. This is the bike. This is the sidecar on the bike. The definition of insanity? Yeah, we've got to grow. We've got to grow in him. And it's a great journey. You know, from Moroni 7:42-43, it says, and this is not a shot, but it's to give us an understanding that what I'm saying is just not out there. It says, if angels aren't regular in your life, it's probably because of unbelief and faith has ceased. And I'm not there either, brothers and sisters. I'm right there with you. Just so happens tonight I'm behind this side of the microphone. But can you see the vision? What you're going to draw on this piece of paper? Where you are, where you want to go. Because if we don't have Christ in front of our eyes, something else will be there. So if you take back to the dictionary again, it says fasting is the abstinence of food. That was in 1828. So I thought, well, what's something more current? So probably the most live thing we have is Wikipedia. What's it say? Fasting is willful refrainment from eating for a period of time. 1828 to now. There's a lot of things in the Restoration or other places you can fast from coffee, you can fast from this. Let me tell you, if that's in your mind, it's probably because you realize I shouldn't be doing those things. Just give them up now. If you're watching TV, you don't stand a ghost of a chance. Throw that thing out the window. You set yourself up for failure. It's like having a test the next day and it's dark and the light doesn't work and you're trying to do it with a candle. Set yourself up for success. You know, fasting should be a joyful experience. We are heading to this experience. And as we come clean, spiritually and physically, the courts of heaven aren't far away. You realize that just like you can't see my hand, there's this theory that we see on the positive side of light and there's a negative side. And so simply, the church of the firstborn could be here and not see him. The veil is so thin. We've been told that, but the veil could be incredibly thin. And what separates it from me, I don't know for you, is my poor attitude, my poor followings of the things of Christ. And we call them sins. So repenting of the sin doesn't fix the attitude and it doesn't fix where my feet go. So if we step back, if your God created, this is a galaxy, you know, a long way away. There's light out there that's 300-400, what's it say, billion years old. I don't care, give him 50% error. It's only 150 billion years old. Is your God that big? Because If you think of all these stars, one of the little stars, it's big to us, is our sun. But it's really actually small. If you take a look at that, it fuses 6 million tons of hydrogen to helium every second. 600 tons. Now, this stuff's not heavy. It's huge. 600 tons. Can your God do that? Remember the checkbox. Really? You know he can, but does your God do that? The other thing is that the solar consistent, the light on a clear midday when it's shining on the ground, they say there's around about 1,368 watts. You realise the outlet over here is only good for about 1,500 watts? It's almost the same power in 1 3-foot square. And this is just his son he created. How powerful is God? And we think he can't fight his battles for us? The last one that you might put a number to, thanks to the deficit, what a trillion is the sun just to earth. Because when you get a ball that goes everywhere, just the little piece that comes to earth, and you realise how small of a dot that is back when you get to the sun, is 126 trillion horsepower. I'd love a car like that. 126,000 trillion. Is your God that big? Because if he isn't, you need to refashion your mind and where he's going and what he's doing. Because all things are spiritual. But I'll let you know, once you start climbing that ladder, I don't know if any of you have ever been 30, 40 feet up on a ladder. The game changes from about 20 feet up, doesn't it? There's one way down, and every other one hurts a lot. But when we talk spiritual, there's no way down. There's no way down. Not without carnage. Spiritual carnage. We need to be very deliberate in the things we do for the Lord. You know, because this is the badge we all tend to be quite happy with. What's it say? Mediocre. Certificate of. Not great, not terrible, mediocre. You're okay. Congrats. Honestly, we're pretty happy with that. Because we're not terrible, right? The price, you know, the 80-20 rule in all things in life? Is you're going to get 80% result with 20% of the energy. And to get the last 20 is going to take 80% of the energy. Okay, kids? You've got to clean the room. You can get 80% clean like that. But mum comes in and goes, look under the bed. Look here. Dirty clothes. Clean it. I'll be back soon. 80-20. It's through all things in life. You know, there's this little thing, you can't see the saying, it says, no one raindrop thinks it's responsible for a flood. Do you think your heart is for the condition of the church today? It is, and same with mine. The problem is we're stuck with this one, but I have a pair of scissors for you. It's called the scriptures. And if there's something in there you don't want, you might want to think about, do I need to cut it out? I'm honest here. If there's something there that makes no sense, do I need to cut it out? Or does this God have a better understanding than Mark? And if that's the case, I'm at a Rubicon. I probably have to start trying to figure out what he's trying to tell me here, because the difference between I can and I can't is just one swift action and follow through. You know, there was recorded in the scriptures as a guy, and he came to Jesus by night. And we like to, a bit like Peter, we like to bash on this guy. But you realize his problem wasn't anything to do with money or stuff. It wasn't he was covetous. It wasn't any of those things. So what was it? What was his problem? I believe his problem was he had an incorrect vision of Christ and God. He didn't realize that Christ, somewhere close to here, got coins out of a fish's mouth, or a coin out of a fish's mouth. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need any of those temporal things. But everything else is his. And when we ascribe what we actually put our life to, then we start to inherit those things. And it's all the vision, the spiritual vision, the knowledge, the truth, the correct use of it, And as we change our food for spiritual food, you know, when I was at the Newell K. Whitney house, been there twice that they said this, they talk about the little room when you leave there. They talk about that was the room that they would bring their fast offerings to. It's pretty hard to fast like that of TV, isn't it? But when you start to come clean, let me tell you something. You don't have to believe me. Learn if you won't. Let me change the picture here. We are an electrical mechanical device. There's things happen. We see the rose. We say, hey, I want that. The mind sends an electrical signal to the muscle, and the muscle goes like this and then mechanically reaches out and grabs it. It's all electrical. It's a miracle. When man gets involved, it looks more like this. It's an electrical hydraulic device. So there's an electrical input, there's a motor that turns, there's a pump here, oil moves upside down, the cylinder goes out. That's a mechanical device. Now what happens if there's no oil in this thing? Don't work. What happens if the pump's tolerances are worn? Doesn't work. You have all the electricity you want, it won't work. When it comes to this, if my body is full of pizza and ice cream, it's not going to work. I'm easily hoodwinked. But as I clean my life, that changes. And it's not easy. It's the hardest thing I've done to date. But let me tell you that when you start to get to that place where you become clean, and there's a scripture on your little sheet there where Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was one clean puppy. And it goes on to say that his face shone. It's not full of the trash we're full of. We need to be fasting and fasting regularly. You know? Something like Wednesdays after work and all day Sunday. Because we need to come and we need to eat at the well with Christ, right? But it talks about five wise and five foolish. We had a 50-50 odds if you're part of the elect group. And what about the marriage supper? We need to come to the well and eat. But there's a problem. We're worried about what others think. You might be upset with what I said tonight. I believe Mark is at the well making sure I'm doing what you want me to do too often. And Christ is there and I'm still going, oh, my hair's not straight yet. I want you to stop and think about your life again. And I'm not talking about lipstick and makeup, ladies. I'm not talking about that. How much of what you do is for me, it's for the presiding elder, it's for whoever. If it's not for Christ at its root, it's not for Christ. It might be a fake work that looks that way, but it will never bear good fruit. You've got to own your own emotions and where they are. And there's a whole bucket of deep worms comes with that, particularly for our ladies. But this fasting and praying and seeking him out earnestly, the keel is the scriptures. What was it? Of all the people, they just spent all that time with the Lamanites and had all that success. Alma and the brothers of the sons of Mosiah. Do you think they needed to continue to be fasting and praying and searching the scriptures? Not a chance. You roll one of those boys up here before they did that, they'd still blow our doors off. But what were they doing? They understood what I'm trying to tell you tonight. What you believe probably needs an overhaul. There's this other thing that happens. With all this sun we talked about, there's incredible heat. I've done a fair bit of videoing when I was a younger lad, and you actually have quartz crystal lenses on the front of those things because it gets so hot. Any impurities, they'll just burn up. No unclean thing can come into the presence of God. There's this rule in photography, and I've done a photo or two, talks about the inverse square rule. And basically, every time you go a distance, the square of that is the loss. So the way you might get it here is this. All those little squares are the same size pieces of paper as that. See all the rays that go through the first one? And by the time you get over here, there's one. But what happens when you come the other way? It's this graph here, brothers and sisters. as we come closer to the Lord, the intensity becomes furnace-y. No unclean thing. My pizza can't come into the presence of the Lord. I'm sorry to tell you that. Much less my attitudes, much less my poor things, much less my sins. Can you tell now where it is? It's insidious. And being sorry is not going to get that out of there. The only way you get it out of there is he cleanses it like this and you don't put more stuff in it. And when you do, my testimony to you is, and it's a shame to say this because I don't follow it like I should, he's starting to tell me that, uh-oh, you know what? I still do it. The natural man's alive and well. We need to listen. So our theme, you think about it, seek with all you have. For what? The correct use of wisdom and understanding. And what did Jesus, when he had his 12 disciples there, told them to pray on? But I only need to pray a couple of times a day, right? Can you see some opportunities for you to grow in Christ? That this camp might grow, that this camp might lift, that the experience you came here might be had, because we are those drops of water. If you're going to have a mountaintop experience here, it's probably because of you and me. And if we each do what it takes to genuinely, not like the lipstick, but like the other lady who's at the well, at his feet, just sitting there. I want you to stop and think about it. Two things. Is Enos, he was on his way to Walmart to get food for the family. And he stopped and he prayed all day. What would your husband and wife say if he didn't come home all day? Man, I've got to get to work. There's things to do. No, I've got to mow the lawn. I've got all the... No, no, no. We don't see it right. And the woman at the well, she was coming to get water. You don't get water. It's heavy stuff. There was a need. But she spent all that time with him. And then she went and spread it throughout the city. Does the paradigm in my mind that I operate on look like that? If not, it needs to be refocused, refinished. And I can tell you from years of experience, if I try and do it, it's just more mark. Doesn't matter how good the spirit I'm in, it's still more mark. Grace is used so horribly. But it's the mercy of Christ that this sinful creature, that he's willing to still work with me. And brothers and sisters, that's grace. When Peter stepped out of the boat, remember I told you as a boatie? They were fearful. And when this thing came walking on the water to them, it was Christ. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I want you to think about a wave. It's not just a standard, simple amplitude like a swell. A wave is curling and breaking. How he walked on that water is beyond me. But he's God. I can tell you that you're far better off being used to walking on the water, getting over the side of the boat when it's calm than when it's like that. Because when the Christ reached out to him, it was not pretty. And he took his eyes. Brother Michael reminded me, we were talking about this last night. He took his eyes off Christ, was all he did wrong. And I often wonder when I'm reading the text, how far under the water was his hand when Christ reached down and plucked him out of the water? If you look at Peter's life, brothers and sisters, we like to rag on him, but all the things we see, he was trying to figure out how to switch these two things. And I can tell you that it's only done through dividing the word of God correctly first to yourself. And you have to have it to understand it and give it. And you get it through prayer and fasting and tons of study. And you have to seek for it like you're looking for your lost child in a tall field of grass. And it's consistency that wins every race. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And there is nothing that he can do more to bless Mark than what he's already doing, I believe. Otherwise, my agency would start to be taken. It's 100% in my court. The things I laugh at, the things I call entertaining, the things where I spend my time. If you passed your checkbook in your calendar, your credit card statement in your calendar, whatever you want, to the person, the next family down, and let them look at it for the last month, will it horrify you as to what things are interesting to you? There's plenty of matrices in our life. I apologise if I've offended anybody. I know it's a strong message. But that's what the scriptures say. And if we're going to play in the big league, we better get practicing hard. Because that ball comes fast and it comes hard. And if it hits, it's not good. It hurts. But if you're a skillful person in the field of the things of Christ, you can take that ball and you can hit it and you can get everybody off the bases. It's all in your vision. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is his Father? And the mind of those two, the Holy Ghost. Remember, if the angels aren't regular nor life like mine, it's probably because of unbelief and faith is weak. May Jesus bless each of us as we go from here, that we might somehow be able to work through the things he's laid on our heart, that we can become his sons and daughters. Thank you for your attention.
It's my sincere prayer that each and every one of you will walk out of here this evening with the same amount of enthusiasm that you were just privileged to witness, the same amount of enthusiasm for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was just presented to you. It's also my prayer that you'll sing this last hymn with that same amount of enthusiasm. After the hymn, after the benediction, please return to your seats for any announcements that we might have at that point in time. We're going to close our service now with hymn number 146. Hymn number 146. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Our Father, our God, at the close of this service, we give you thanks for the word that's been broken out before us, that we might have a greater understanding by the gift of your Spirit of those things that are needful in our life, those things that are expedient, that we might respond to your call. I pray to God that we might be willing and have the courage to lay our life down, that you might examine it, that you might prove our life, that you might try our reins and try our hearts, that we might know of the righteousness and truth in which lies in your love for us. Help us in this endeavor, O God, to purify ourselves through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the love that and the blood that he has shed for us, that we might grow stronger as we grow closer to you, and that we might have a greater understanding through that time of fast and a time of prayer and study, that we would learn of your ways and that we would follow in the footsteps of our Savior. And it's in his name now we pray, even that of Jesus Christ. Amen.